Reading from Jeremiah 18, from the beginning of the chapter, The Potter and the Clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you, and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. But they say, it is no use. We will follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil will. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask among the nations, who has heard the like of this? The virgin Israel has done a most horrible thing. Does the snow of Lebanon leave the crags of Sirion? Do the mountain waters run dry, the cold flowing streams? But my people have forgotten me. They burn offerings to a delusion. They have stumbled in their ways, in the ancient roads, and have gone into bypaths, not the highway, making their land a horror, a thing to be hissed at forever. All who pass by it are horrified and shake their heads. Like the wind from the east, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back, not my face, in the day of their calamity.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of my hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jeremiah's lament rings down the centuries. In the Bible, at the next book, it's called Lamentations, and it is a long lament by Jeremiah for the destruction of his city. How deserted lies the city, once thronging with people. Is there any agony like mine? It echoes to places. Another earthquake this morning in central Italy. Jeremiah complains as well, and his complaint rings down the years. Pay heed, Lord, and hear what my opponents are saying against me. Is good to be repaid with evil, that they have dug a pit for me? It echoes down the years, wherever today there is injustice. Jeremiah's vision of God, heard in detail in the reading, just echoes down the aeons and eras to our own time as well. Israel, can I not deal with you as the potter deals with his clay? Jeremiah's lament, Jeremiah's complaint, Jeremiah's vision of God. Not much of that kind of thing today among the bake-offs and the plasticky Halloween costumes and the here one minute, gone the next outrage of the newspaper headline. Jeremiah's lament and complaint and God. Perhaps the words of the ancient deserve a place in our time of destruction, of the disruption of millions of lives, of the growing fear of difference between groups and individuals, of national pride. Our time, a time in which every human life is as threatened by suffering, as done down by its weaknesses, as much at the mercy of the forces beyond its own control as ever human lives were. Our time. Time, though, in which there isn't much room for lament. I don't mean moaning and whinging, there's plenty of that around. Worried wellness, you might call it. Ours is an age of superficiality. Superficial judgments about right and wrong, based largely on tittle-tattle and media-driven hate campaigns. Bad has a beard and a dark skin and maybe wears a bikini. Good is light-skinned and wealthy and lives in a leafy suburb. Superficial expectations of human life. As long as we're okay, we'll just feel a little bit bad about the state of the world, but won't expect things to change very much. But lament isn't superficial. Lament is deep. Lament is the keening cry of the heart, not just at one's own misfortune, but at the state of the world. Lament sees reality in a bombed-out town. It sees the skull beneath the skin of the bland news report. It hears the poetry in the pity of the refugee, the addict, the seriously ill. It feels the pain of being human, dreaming of the stars, yet so often mired in the world's gutters. Lament cries. Lament cries out to God. Let Jeremiah's lament, he predicts Jerusalem's destruction and weeps when it is destroyed, in words such as these: see Zion's precious sons, once worth their weight in gold, now counted as clay jars, the work of any potter's hand. Let Jeremiah's lament in those kind of words be heard in our world, where Aleppo burns, where Mosul is on the cusp, where earthquakes bring homes crashing down on people's heads, where the precious sons of Kabul or Addis Ababa or Damascus are broken like so many clay pots on the roads of Europe. Jeremiah's lament. With their own hands, tender-hearted women boiled their own children. Their children became their food on the day of my people's wounding. That's Jeremiah's lament. Harsh, explicit, brutal. It pulls no punches. It probably wouldn't win the Nobel Prize for Literature. Still, Is there anywhere in today's world where such a lament can be heard? Is there anywhere a Jeremiah for our age, a word of lament like this? There might well be, actually. But the people who utter such laments are probably rotting away in prison cells all over the place, or else hiding for daring to speak out, for telling it like it is. Maybe, in a small way, we bear some responsibility for uttering a lament for our age, in our worship, in our hearts. If we're serious about the Bible anyway, where tears of lament drip from page after page. A church that worships with joy but no lament, a church that praises but does not cry, a church that gives thanks but does not tremble with rage at the state of the world, is no church worthy of the name. If lament is not deep, then joy and laughter will not be deep either. Let Jeremiah's lament be heard in our world. Jeremiah's complaint. A curse on the day I was born. You have duped me, Lord, and I have been your dupe. You have outwitted me and prevailed. Let Jeremiah's complaint be heard in our world, where lovers are betrayed, where hopes are dashed, where promises are broken, where politics is distorted, where truth is undermined, where nations compete and clash. Have we been reduced to this? Have we been reduced to following our own ideas or those of our community or nation? Is there nothing more? Complain if there is nothing more. We have been duped. We thought we had been born into a good world. We have a deep-seated sense of fairness. We instinctively know that it is wrong that some should prosper while millions of others go to the wall for no better reason than where they happen to have been born. How have we ended up with a world in which there is so much injustice, so much destruction, so much pain? Let Jeremiah's complaint be heard in our world. Woe betide him who builds his palace on unfairness and completes its roof chambers with injustice. Today, complaint has been reduced to tears of frustration at the end of a phone line while some unfortunate operative at the other end in a call centre endlessly repeats the mantra of some faceless bureaucracy. Today, complaint is what we do mostly when we don't get what we believe is rightfully ours. Complaint is mostly about political parties scoring points off each other like flies fighting over a piece of rotten meat. But Jeremiah's complaint is a cry to God at the state of the world. Jeremiah sees his own misfortune as a microcosm of fairness of the world all around. Let Jeremiah's complaint, is there anywhere else in our world where such a complaint can be heard? Let Jeremiah's complaint be heard. Actually, there's a worldwide tradition of music, from Beethoven's Ode to Joy to Negro spirituals, to reggae music, to Indian folk music, and 100 others. But I guess much of the time, all that stuff gets lost in its time, or because of the beauty of the music. Who knew that Ode to Joy was written as a protest song? I had no idea. Let Jeremiah's complaint be heard in our world. Maybe we bear some small responsibility for letting it be heard, for taking our complaint straight to God. That's the thing, my friends. Jeremiah's lament and complaint is only possible because of his vision of God. Can I not deal with you as the potter deals with his clay? It's not a very popular vision of God anymore, is it? These days, those who believe in God tend to believe in a kind of benevolent grandfather, a kind of cosmic Terry Wogan. But Jeremiah's God is in line with much of the Old Testament, a God of power and freedom and justice and truth, a God who might throw off his people if they disobey him and lift up his enemies if they do what is right. Jeremiah's God is the God of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the others, a God who builds up and destroys, a God who sows in anger and reaps with joy, a God who hides himself in mystery and reveals himself in unlikely ways, God who speaks in a still small voice and summons armies to do his bidding. Is there any room in our world for Jeremiah's vision of God? Maybe Jeremiah couldn't see beyond the clouds or above the mountain, and we get glimpses from beyond Jupiter. Maybe in Jeremiah's world they saw gods behind every tree and rock and in every river, and we've convinced ourselves that God is just a religious idea for a few folk in churches. Still, today there is as much confusion as ever, as much human frailty as ever, as much suffering, as much mystery as ever there was. What is it the song says? The more I find out, the less I know. In such a world as this, might there still not be room for Jeremiah's vision of God? Can I not deal with you as the potter deals with his clay? Why would we not believe in such a world as this? In a God of power and freedom and justice and truth, in whose hands we are as vulnerable and as dependent and as safe as the clay in the hands of the potter. Jeremiah's vision of God, a vision behind his lament and his complaint. Would we not want to believe in a God like that, before whom we could lament the state of the world, before whom we could complain about the state of the world? Or perhaps you would rather believe in the God of Jesus. There's only about 400 years between them, so it's still quite ancient stuff, but still, the God of Jesus. It is God who clothes the wild grass. Grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he all the more surely clothe you? The God of Jesus. And when he saw Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, "If you only knew today what is needed for peace." But Now you cannot see it. The God of Jesus. My God, why have you abandoned me? The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same. Oh, there are differences. There are developments. And they continue. Our age is not exactly the same as the age of the prophets, nor indeed the age of Jesus. But when it comes to God, my friends, in this world, a vision is needed so that we might lament, so that we might complain, so that our suffering and the injustices of the world can be shown up for the charlatans they are, so that they cannot be allowed to have the last word, so that we don't settle for a weak, namby-pamby religion, a relative, uncommitted understanding of the truth, a pointless chasing after self-fulfillment and ease, so that we might continue to hope, even in the face of death, so that we might learn to trust. Jeremiah's lament, Jeremiah's complaint, Jeremiah's vision of God, and Jesus's. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And ours?